Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul.
Welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevins Welder.
In Acts chapter 13, we have an interesting incident as Paul and Barnabas are ministering in Paphos. Acts chapter 13, verse 6, when they had gone through the island of Paphos, they found a certain sorcerer. This is Acts chapter 13, verse 6. A false prophet, a Jew whose name was Bar-Jesus, which was with the deputy of the country, Sergius Paulus, a prudent man, who called for Barnabas and Saul, and desired to hear the word of God. But Elymas, the sorcerer, for so is his name by interpretation, withstood them, seeking to turn away the deputy from the faith. Then Saul, who also is called Paul, filled with the Holy Ghost, set his eyes on him and said, O full of all subtlety and all mischief, thou child of the devil, thou enemy of all righteousness, wilt thou not cease to pervert the right ways of the Lord? And now behold, the hand of the Lord is upon thee, and thou shalt be blind, not seeing the sun for a season. And immediately there fell on him a mist and a darkness, and he went about seeking some to lead him by the hand. Then the deputy, when he saw what was done, believed, being astonished at the doctrine of the Lord. Now what we want to study today in this passage is Elymas the sorcerer. Because what he did is he withstood Sergius Paulus in his desire to hear the word of God. He was seeking to turn away the deputy from the faith. We want to talk about him today, but let's just make sure that we understand what's going on with Sergius Paulus before we endeavor to explore these four things that Paul said to the sorcerer. You see, Sergius Paulus was the deputy of the country, and the Bible says in Acts chapter 13, verse 7, he was a prudent man. Now, a prudent man is a man that has wisdom. He is a man that has discretion. He's a man that has some understanding, and what he's done is he's allowed wisdom and understanding and discretion to guide him. And so when he hears Saul and Barnabas, he recognizes that there's something that these men have that's worth hearing. And his prudence has led him to inquire. Not only did he inquire, but the Bible says he called for Barnabas and Saul. Isn't that a novel thing? You know, you've heard us talk about sowing the seed of the Word of God. You've heard us talking about knocking on doors, which we've done. You've heard us talk about public ministry. You've heard us talk about trying to get the gospel to people who are lost. How about this? Here's a man who said, I'm not waiting for somebody to come to me. He called for Barnabas and Saul. He called. He sent. He was the one that was entered. He's like a man that says, my heart is burning inside of me. There's an emptiness. I need to find God. And he goes to a church where the Bible is preached and hears the gospel preached. The man makes an effort. Sergius Paulus makes an effort to satisfy the desire of his heart to know this gospel. He calls for Barnabas and Saul. And then the Bible says he desired to hear the word of God. He didn't want to hear the word of man. He wanted to hear the word of God. Now, you know something? Sergius Paulus is a man that has truly set himself up in his pursuit to find the Lord Jesus Christ. And wouldn't you know it, there is a man named Elymas the sorcerer who withstood him, or withstood Barnabas and Saul, seeking to turn away the deputy, that is Sergius Paulus, from the faith. There's an obstacle here. And we want to talk about that obstacle today. Notice that Saul was filled with the Holy Ghost. His name was changed to Paul here. And he set his eyes on him, and now he identifies four characteristics in Elymas before he blinds him for a season. He says, O full of all subtlety and all mischief, that's one. Thou child of the devil, that's two. Thou enemy of all righteousness, that's three. Wilt thou not cease to pervert the right ways of the Lord? That's four. Four things that Elymas did to withstand Barnabas and Saul seeking to turn away the deputy from the faith. And may I say something to you? Today, there are Elymas the sorcerers everywhere. You don't recognize them, and the reason you don't recognize them is that you think somebody as bad as Elymas, with all these characteristics, an enemy of all righteousness, a child of the devil, would have horns and a pitchfork and a forked tail and split hooves and look just like bad drawings of the devil. That's what you'd think. You'd hear this description, you're thinking, this must be a really, really wicked, a horrible man. But the problem is, when you see him, you can't tell it. That's the problem. You look at Elymas, and you think, this must be a good man. Well, I mean, he was right there to advise the deputy of the country. I mean, he's in a position of access and authority. And you look at that and you think, well, this must certainly be a good man. Paul, I'm telling you, when he was filled with the Holy Ghost, he got in Elymas's face and he stopped the opposition. He withstood Elymas, who had withstood them, because he knew that Elymas was seeking to turn away the deputy from the faith, and the deputy was interested in the faith. So what we want to talk about today is we want to talk about Elymas the sorcerer, and we want to notice these four characteristics about him. Why? Because there are others today who are withstanding people, seeking to turn them from the faith. They could be in churches like Mormon churches, and Catholic churches, and Jehovah's Witnesses. They could be in those. They could be in Methodist churches, or Presbyterian churches, or Baptist churches. They could be in those. They could be in Episcopalian churches. They could be in non-denominational churches. You say, well, it doesn't seem much like they should be in one of those, but they are. They are. And here are the characteristics of these people. Like Elymas. First of all, you notice in them subtlety. Oh, full of all subtlety and all mischief. You notice in them subtlety. Now, what is subtlety? Subtlety is craft. Subtlety is that thing that happens when it's not real obvious. Subtlety is what a magician uses, for instance, in order to trick you into believing that he has actually performed magic, when all he has done is perform a sleight of hand. He did something that your eye didn't catch, so that you thought that he performed a magic trick, when in fact he just did something that was very practical, something that is very explainable, something that is not supernatural at all, but you didn't see it. He fooled you. That was Elymas. He was full of subtlety and all mischief. In that he was very much like the devil, who in Genesis chapter 3 appears in a serpent. And the Bible says the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. In other words, it wasn't obvious what he was up to when he led Eve away from the Lord and into disobedience. Do you see that subtlety? That subtlety and that mischief, something that is not good. He's up to mischief, no good. You see, in Romans chapter 16, Paul identifies something that a person full of subtlety would do. He says in Romans chapter 16 and verse 17, I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you have learned, and avoid them. For they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly. Now here it is. And by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple. They don't do it by coming with a cloak and a dagger. They don't come looking scary. They speak good words and they make fair speeches. And with those they deceive the hearts of the simple and turn away people from the truth. That's Romans 16 verses 17 and 18. Now listen, all over this city, all over this state, all over this country, there are men that are in positions like pastorates, like Bible college professors, like seminary professors, who come across as godly, as scholarly, as authoritative, as biblically sound, and they are none of those things. They are subtle. And truly, they are withstanding the work of faith in the lives of young men and women. But it's not obvious to those, because they look to this person just like Sergius Paulus would have looked to Elymas and say, this man must be telling me the truth. And he would have convinced, undoubtedly, Sergius Paulus to turn away from Barnabas and Saul had Saul not stood up and stopped him. If he hadn't stood up and blinded the man. Years ago, in Southern Baptist seminaries all across this country, back in the 70s, young men, young women would go to seminary to learn the Bible, to learn the ministry, in answer perhaps to leadership of the Lord in their lives, to go do something for God. They would go there believing in the virgin birth. They would go there believing in the bodily resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. They would go there believing in the literal return of the Lord Jesus Christ to this earth to rule. They would believe in those things biblically. They understood them from the Scripture. And then by the time they came out of seminary 4 years later, they no longer believed in the virgin birth. They no longer believed in the bodily resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And they no longer believed in the literal return of the Lord Jesus Christ to this earth. Who talked them out of their faith? Elymas. Men did that with subtlety, and others didn't pick up on it. Now, later, thankfully, a more conservative group in the Southern Baptist Convention picked up on it and began to make some changes. It took years to do so, but they were able to return. Of course, it resulted in a split, but it returned at least some of those in the convention back to some of those foundational doctrines. How did the men succeed in withstanding them and turning them from the faith? They did it by subtlety. You didn't see what they were doing. It wasn't clear that they were deceiving the hearts of the simple. So you've got to be careful. Just because a man is wearing a robe or a collar or standing there in a pulpit where you believe that the man should be telling you the truth, just because he's got a bunch of initials behind his name showing you how many degrees he's received, does not mean that he is trying to help you grow closer to God or help you to understand the Bible. It may very well be that he doesn't believe some of the things that are here, and through subtlety he is withstanding the truth and turning away people from the faith. Subtlety, that's a very dangerous thing. All right, notice something else about Elymas. He was full of subtlety. He was also a child of the devil. So what did that involve? Spiritual wickedness. Spiritual wickedness. What are we talking about here? We're talking about the devil being involved in this thing. You know something? The devil is subtle. And sometimes it's hard for people to know that the devil is really working inside of somebody else to oppose the gospel. Jesus Christ was not one bit fooled by the Pharisees, but there were a lot of other people who were. Why? Because the Pharisees were the religious leaders of their day. And they had established all kinds of ordinances in addition to the commandments of God, and they were very strict. And their outward appearance, according to Jesus Christ, their outward appearance in every capacity would lead you to believe that these were holy men. They prayed a lot. They dressed appropriately. They gave alms. They met together in the synagogue and could talk about the words of God. They could do all those things. And they kept their outward appearance very clean, so it looked like that they were very strict, very orthodox in their adherence to the words of God. But when Jesus Christ was talking to these men, he said, "You are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father you will do." That's John 8:44. In Matthew chapter 23, he absolutely tears them to pieces with his preaching. He calls them hypocrites. He calls them blind guides. He calls them vipers. He calls them serpents. He says, "You serpents, you generation of vipers, how can you escape the damnation of hell?" And he holds them responsible for the death of all the prophets and wise men and scribes that had been killed by their fathers. He said that upon you may come all the righteous blood shed upon the earth, from the blood of righteous Abel unto the blood of Zacharias, the son of Berechias, whom you slew between the temple and the altar. Boy, he really smoked them out. And you know what? They were the ones who got together privately in their council to destroy the Lord Jesus Christ. You say, why would they do that? Because of the devil. See, what you don't see, and what's really hard to say about somebody, is that there's somebody who is withstanding others coming to the Lord, faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. There are others who are trying to turn away some from the faith, and you don't realize that what you're dealing with is the devil, spiritual wickedness in high places. Thou child of the devil, Paul said. Oh, you wouldn't even allow yourself to believe that. You say, no, this guy's good. He's godly. He has a church. He has studied in the seminary. No, he couldn't possibly. Yes, he could possibly. You go through there and you read in that Bible and you see the devil gets inside of some folks. I mean, Judas Iscariot was one of the 12 disciples. He had all of the supernatural gifts that the rest of those disciples had been given to cleanse lepers, to heal the blind, to raise the dead, to cast out demons. They had it all. And yet Judas Iscariot, I'm telling you, when he betrayed the Lord Jesus Christ, that Bible says that Satan entered him. Satan entered him. He did that thing because the devil was in him. Listen, Peter was a good man. I know he was zealous, but he was a good man. But there was a time when Peter spoke, trying to rebuke the Lord Jesus Christ for saying that he was going to end up going to the cross. And the Lord rebuked Peter, and when he did, he said, "Get thee behind me, Satan." Do you realize that even in a man like Peter, Satan can speak through the man's mouth? Do you understand? And I mean, when Paul saw what Elymas was doing, he didn't stop. He said, "You're subtle. Other people around here think you're a good guy. They don't realize what you're really up to. I realize what you're up to." He said, "You child of the devil." He said, I see the hand of the devil in this thing. I see that you are not following the Lord, that there is spiritual wickedness involved in this." And he nailed him. And then he said this, "Thou enemy of all righteousness." And you know what he was talking about here? Opposition, disobedience. In other words, here's the gospel. And for Sergius Paulus to get saved, you have to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And here's this enemy of all righteousness. You know what he'll do? He will raise up an alternative way to give that man assurance that he would be able to go to heaven when he dies. I'm telling you, there are all kinds of enemies of all righteousness. Paul dealt with them all the time. There were Judaizers, they call them, people that were trying to get converts to go back under the law, to adhere to the law of Moses, to be circumcised in order to have some assurance of their own salvation. And you know what Paul said? He said that you are an enemy of the cross. Enemy of the cross. Listen. There is one right way to heaven. Jesus Christ said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." And if a man does not preach that simple gospel message, if he does not believe that simple gospel message, if he does not lead sinners to understand that simple gospel message, that Jesus Christ is the one mediator between God and men, that salvation is by grace through faith without works, that it's a faith in the finished work of Jesus Christ on Calvary, if he adds anything to that, he's an enemy of all righteousness. Because what he's doing, listen, Jesus Christ has completed the righteousness of the law. Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. He has completed it, and if a man adds anything to it, he is an enemy of what Jesus Christ has already done on the cross. And may I tell you, there are more men and women in pulpits in this country preaching against all righteousness than there are who are preaching the simple gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know what the Bible says? They are opponents. They are enemies. It's opposition. It's disobedience. Listen, Saul was given a command by the Lord to do something. And what he was told to do is he was to kill the Amalekites, he's kill Agag, and kill all the possessions, the sheep and oxen and all that stuff. He didn't do it. He didn't do it. They got most of it done, but he didn't get it all. And when Samuel confronted him about that in 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 22, Samuel said, "Hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he hath also rejected thee from being king. Oh, to obey is better than sacrifice." So you can have a man that he gets in there and he has a big church and he's got all this kind of orthodox stuff going on. You think, man, you know, it's a great place for us to go to church. Listen, if he does not preach the simplicity of salvation in Jesus Christ, he is an enemy of all righteousness. He is in opposition. He is in disobedience to the Word of God. You say, that's harsh. Yes, it is. But it's also true. I had a pastor like that. I took him to lunch and asked him why he wasn't preaching the Bible the way it was written. He'd take a text and then venture off into something else. The first time he didn't shoot straight with me, but the second time he did. He said to me, he said, "If I preach that, half the people in this church would leave, and then who would pay the bills?" I said, "You know something, I don't like your answer, but I know you have answered the truth. You've given me the true answer to your question, and I don't agree with it." You know what he was? He was an enemy of all righteousness. He'd rather send half that congregation to hell just to get those bills paid in that church than he would to stand up, trust God by faith, and preach the truth of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's an opponent. That's a disobedient man. What does he see in Elymas? He sees subtlety. He sees spiritual wickedness. He sees opposition. What else does he see? He sees perversion. He sees perversion. "Wilt thou not cease to pervert the right ways of the Lord?" To pervert the right ways of the Lord is to give somebody an alternative that's close but not quite right. It is to corrupt the words of God in order to make it sound like they're the real deal when they're not. Paul had to contend with this kind of thing in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 17. He says to the Corinthians, "We are not as many which corrupt the word of God, but as of sincerity, but as of God, in the sight of God, speak we in Christ." Notice, in the day of Paul, so many years ago, there were many who corrupted the word of God. Well, if they were doing it that much back when Paul wrote this, don't you know they've done it to a great degree today? Listen, I am staunchly a believer that God has preserved his words in a King James Bible. I believe what you're hearing me quote and preach to you today out of this King James Bible are the literal written words of God. But there are many who don't believe that, and they have come up with hundreds, literally, of English translations of the Bible. They sell them in bookstores all over, sell them online all over. People go there trying to figure out what's the right one to buy, and they're confused. And I'm going to tell you what. All those in there that are not lined up exactly with this Bible are perversions of the right ways of the Lord. That's what they are. They are perversions. They are corruptions of the Word of God. You say, well, to what degree are they? Man has inserted what he understands. Man has inserted what he wants it to say. Man has inserted himself into the words of God, and now they are no longer the words of God. They're the words of men. When Paul was preaching to the Thessalonians in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13, he said, "For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, which you heard of us, you received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe." Notice, if it was the word of men, it wouldn't effectually work in them that believe. But when it's the Word of God, it does effectually work in you that believe. I'm telling you, there are a lot of Elymas today. You don't understand that when men corrupt the words of God, they are withstanding the Lord. They are turning away people from the faith. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. And the men who are in these translation committees, the men who are in the copywriting of these manuscripts, the men who are in the publication and distribution and sale of these Bibles are subtle. They say, this is better, this is closer to the original, this is a more literal translation. It's subtle. There's spiritual wickedness involved in this. Do you not realize that in order for the devil to destroy the faith, he has to destroy or attempt to destroy the Word of God? That's spiritual wickedness. It's opposition. Why? Because they want you to read and disobey the words of truth. It's opposition to the truth of the words of God. It's perversion. It's corruption. Elymas is not dead. No. He was blinded, which is the same thing that the Pharisees were involved in a spiritual sense. But don't you be blinded. Not to these things. I know you hear me preaching with a great deal of zeal and a great deal of conviction about this matter, but I'm telling you, Saul looked through what appeared to be a good man and said, I don't care what Sergius Paulus thinks about this guy named Elymas, who's a sorcerer and has bewitched these people. I want him to know that he is full of subtlety and mischief, that he's a child of the devil, he's an enemy of righteousness, and he will not cease to pervert the right ways of the Lord. And as we consider Elymas, please consider there are men and women just like him today, and you've got to look through the subtlety. You've got to be able to see the spiritual wickedness. You must understand that they are opposed to the words of God. You must be able to discern the perversion and corruption of the pure words of God, because they are sent to destroy the faith and turn away those from the faith who would believe. Please understand. Please understand, when Elymas was identified by Saul, Saul stepped way out there to point the finger at him. Please understand that there are many of those like Elymas today, and do not let them, through their subtlety, cause you to disobey the words of God through their spiritual wickedness and end up in corruption. Amen.
You have been listening to The Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. For information about our church, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's my3bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Ranmorgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you.
Hallelujah.